And we are back here with another Beefcake's Advanced Stage. I want everyone to know that sometimes I start out sounding sort of calm and monotone, and as I kind of get worked up a little bit, I start getting more emotionally into it as I start to talk. So sometimes I, after a long day, don't always sound really, really excited, but who knows? I might get excited. So I took some cliff notes here on some stuff I wanted to talk about because it's hard for me to sometimes keep it all in my head. Sometimes I'll be ready to podcast and be like, "Oh, what on earth did I want to talk about?" And well, you get what you pay for. This is a free podcast, so sometimes you'll hear me trying to brainstorm and get my own thoughts together. But I did make some cliffs for myself before I started here, so hopefully I'll get to everything I wanted to say. And one of the things I noticed recently. A little story. I was on my way to work, and I have a couple of jobs. I'm not in a, here's a little personal detail. Beefcake isn't a rich guy, and he has some bills he has to pay off, unfortunately. So I have two jobs, and one of them I was driving to the other night, and kind of has an odd schedule that varies. And I was on the way there, and I was listening to the radio in my car. And there was a speech that was being played on the radio station. And now, of course, I do listen to some of the neocon radio stations, not because I really agree with anything they have to say per se, but I like to pay attention at least to what is being talked about by the old media, by what they're saying. Look for our memes or our ideas starting to show up. Pay attention to the trends, stuff like that. Not because I'm not the guy sitting there listening to everything on the radio going, "Yeah, that's right." A lot of times I'll instantly see things and flaws in what they're saying that I'm sure most of the people listening to it, unfortunately, are just nodding their heads along with, not realizing what they're actually hearing and how it's affecting them, and not necessarily thinking about things. They're not looking for contradictions. A lot of people don't think about things the way that a cross-examiner would think about things, the way they would question things. That's what a lot of mantra thinking is geared in, basically questioning things and questioning everything. It's sort of a style of how to do that. A way to do it in a way that works. And one of the things is we should ask questions about things and not just blindly agree with what we're hearing. And one of the best ways to question something is to cross-examine it for contradictions. Things that say that this wouldn't actually work. If something someone's suggesting is doing, try to think of things that might keep it from working or situations that's been tried in the past and it hasn't worked. So anyway, I was flipping through the radio and I saw something came on this one, and it was an old speech, or it sounded like an old speech. And you'll have to forgive me, I'm not old enough to be familiar with which speech it was from. And of course, I jumped into it in the middle of a speech, and the voice of the guy sort of sounded like old recordings I've heard of someone like JFK or someone like that, sort of an Americanized Irish family's accent from an old recording from back then. He sounded similar to him. Might have been a priest or someone else famous. I don't know who it was that was doing the speech that was being given. It might be more recent and just made to sound old-fashioned. I have no idea who on earth it was that I was listening to, but it was coming over the radio, and I was listening to the speech. And of course, whenever I listen to anything, I am looking for those contradictions. I'm looking for stuff that doesn't fit. I'm looking for some time where I can say, "Aha, gotcha. You're full of crap." And he was talking about fear and how fear is a necessity. And he talked about how, the danger of nuclear proliferation. One of the reasons it made me wonder if it was an older speech, and about how, everyone's always talked about every time there's a new invention or a war weapon, everyone says it's going to end all wars, but it never does, and how we need to have, this new thing is going to end wars, and that now the nuclear age is upon us. Now it's this great threat, and one nation could simply use it to settle a war with others instantaneously, and it could make the whole world so much more of a dangerous place. I was thinking, that doesn't, that's a that 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 I can't put my finger on who was saying this, but I've heard things like this before. And then he says, there's only one kind of fear that can solve world problems and that can end the fear of nuclear proliferation, because the fear of the nuclear weapon won't be enough to prevent wars. The only fear that can prevent war is the same kind of fear of a loving parent. And that is the fear of God. And, you know, he went into the kind of fear for a long time before he mentions the fear of God. Of course, now I realized he's talking about another fucking one true faith. Oh, Beefcake swore. How does Horace say it? Cover the little rabbit's ears. Yeah, he's talking about another one true faith. He's talking about the fear of God. Now, personally, I don't have a problem with it if somebody really, really wants to believe in God. That makes them feel more comfortable and safer in their universe. That's fantastic. But right there was a big, bold contradiction. Let's ask ourselves, does this work? Does just everybody agreeing to believe in God actually work? How long have human beings been attempting to use this to bring about world peace? Or at least they're claiming they're using it to bring about world peace. But how long have people actually been using the idea of believing in a one true faith to bring about world peace? Oh, okay, we're all just going to fear God. Hey, that's a great idea, asshole. And who speaks for this God? And who knows the proper way to pray to this God? Okay, how do we know he's the right one God? Okay, oh, it's always the same right one God. Well then, why on earth in human history, if everyone's praying to the correct one true God that everyone prays to, have people been killing each other for thousands of years based on how to pray to the guy properly, or which set of words to believe in that this God apparently told them? Fear of God hasn't prevented wars. There's been a long list of human suffering that's been done over the last, as far back as we know in recorded history, of, you know, if from what we really know about our history. There's a lot of questions there too. But as far as what I've seen and that I'm aware of, fear of God is a great buzz point that really religious people will nod their heads and go, yeah, if we all just fear God, people will stop doing bad things. Okay, this God gave us a set of commandments, and without them, we would just society would just devolve into horrible primitive societies. Everyone would be horrible to each other, and you know, I don't believe that. Beefcake doesn't believe that. Beefcake thinks that human beings, particularly my race, the white race, the one currently being genocided by diversity in all white countries and only white countries, force assimilated, force blending, creating conditions that lead to enough interbreeding to destroy us as a race in fitting with the genocide laws under international law. This particular race happens to have a very powerful, profound feeling of empathy towards one another. I don't think we need any fear of a big bad guy in the sky. You can believe in a big good guy in the sky if you want, or whatever you believe in. I don't want to insult anyone here listening to me. My point is that if someone's trying to tell anyone that this one true set of words is going to make everything in the world better, they're preaching in vague. They want you to nod their head and agree with them and think this is a great idea, but it doesn't fit a very important part of mantra thinking, which is, does it work? Because the reality is throughout human history, There are too many problems with getting everybody to agree and believe in just one God. And the idea that this would bring about world peace it hasn't actually worked. Okay? In many cases, they're killing each other over it. It doesn't actually work. And what does it do to save my race? What does it do to save our particular race? Because the current religion ruling all the countries that my people live in is political correctness. The one true faiths believing in scary guy in the sky happen to all be secondary religions right now. And an interesting thing is they all work like membership organizations. And like membership organizations, they all have to agree with what's popular right now. And what's popular? Well, of course, everything under the current religion of political correctness. It's becoming less popular. It's becoming much less popular, and the contradictions are starting to, you know, come spilling out into the open. And I want to thank the Swarm for continuously being a great part of that. of helping poke holes in that dam. Yep, we're getting that true information out there. Certainly helps, but we are still up against the dam. The dam hasn't completely broken open yet, and that dam is the religion of political correctness, but it still ties to the original problem, which is wordism. Believing in one set of words and unquestionably clinging to an idea, no matter whether it works or not, and just believing that the better you believe in these words, the more likely things are going to turn out to be okay. That's my point. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. If Occam had a razor and Chatton had an anti-razor, then Bob Whitaker has a razor. Does it work? I will credit that to him because he was the one I saw ask that. But you know what? We should all be asking that question. It doesn't matter if people forget who initially came up with it. And I'm sure Bob would be fine with that. But does it work? Is the question we should be asking. And that is part of mantra thinking. It's an important part of it that I've done my best to absorb and apply to my life and my world outlook. And when I think about the question, does it work? And I think about the suggestion made on this speech on the radio that I happened to flip into when I was on my way to work. And I simply asked myself, does it work? And I said, nope, doesn't work at all. It's been tried, doesn't work. The secondary faiths right now that everyone believes in, not everyone, in fact, they're becoming very unpopular at this moment too. They're all agreeing to things that would destroy our race as well. You know, a Christian church, so long as you believe in Jesus, most Christian churches have no problem marrying a black person to a white person, knowing full well those kids aren't going to be white. Okay, that's the reality of it. A lot of them now are marrying men and men and women and women. And, you know, obviously now that actually Beefcake doesn't actually think that homosexuality is nearly as destructive to our race as is the interracial breeding and marriage. That is obviously drastically more destructive. The issue I have with the over promotion of homosexuality is I believe that it ultimately does hurt your birth rate. I really think that, you know, homosexuality is overrepresented population-wise in all white countries right now, and it probably, a lot of it may stem from the mental illnesses that have been caused by all the brainwashing and conditioning we've been under. I mean, they're attacking us mentally from every single angle they possibly can. That's what Team Pink Rabbit does. It's a dynamic conflict. They are an enemy that wages war by deception. This is how they work. You know, they every single thing they can possibly do to wipe out white rabbits, you know, to wipe out our people, white people, and things that reduce our birth rate, obviously, things that mess up the gender dynamics. You know, women are not attracted to submissive males, but they push ideologies like feminism. And of course, that definitely came from Team Pink Rabbit. You know, teach a bunch of women that men are oppressing them, specifically the evil white males that ironically came from the countries where women had the highest quality of life of women anywhere in the world to begin with, but yet those were the oppressing males. You see, there's a bunch of contradictions there. But it messes up the gender dynamic. Women are not attracted typically to submissive men. Okay, white women do not enjoy having a sniveling suck up for a sexual partner. It's not sexy. If you're a white female rabbit listening to me right now, and you honestly in your heart of hearts believe that you would be attracted to a man who's constantly worshiping the ground you walk on and groveling and sending you 50 page emails and texts and stalking you to try and show you how he could worship you better than anybody else, and you actually find that attractive, sound off, but I'm not going to hold my breath. At the same time, if you do know what I'm talking about, and you do understand this, also go ahead and sound off in the comment section. I think a lot more white guys that have been under a lot of the conditioning could learn a whole lot more about gender dynamics, and that would probably help them in their relationships. The first thing they need to stop doing is kissing ass so much. They need to stop saying sorry so much. Okay? It's okay to behave a little bit more masculine and a little bit less feminized. It would help you be a little bit more attractive. And there are behaviors that are attractive and there are behaviors that aren't. Well, anyway, I go on all these tangents. Team Pink Rabbit pushes stuff. Team Anti-White pushes stuff that definitely messes up the gender dynamics, reduces our birth rate. They promote homosexuality, reduces our birth rate. Those are damaging because they result in less white people. But again, ultimately, we could survive ridiculous ideologies that reduce our population. We've woken up from lots of ideologies before. But what happens if you wake up from the belief that all races are the same and can interbreed, but by the time you wake up, there's not enough white people left for a viable gene pool, you're wiped out. Now, of course, we're nowhere near that point yet. Okay? Thank a great angry guy in the sky that we're not nearly to that point right now. I'd rather thank Odin. At least he's cool and I know he's pro-white. But we're not close to being wiped out yet. But genocide is the attempt to wipe out a race. You don't have to have succeeded for it to be genocide. So we aren't facing an attempt at genocide. It's an act of genocide. It's an active, ongoing program of genocide. And one thing that has happened is it has reduced our population. Now some people say, well, there hasn't been a massive population drop yet. It has reduced the young population. If we have an aging population and more old people than young people, then effectively our population has already been reduced. But again, we can survive a population drop. I'll keep pointing it out. We could survive a massive, massive plague, as we have in the past, wipe out a huge chunk of our population, and so long as we are racially homogeneous, we're white. It doesn't even have to be perfectly homogeneous. You can take, if you have a large enough space of land, and you put white people from various European countries into one area, that's big enough and has a lot of room and give them an open system, they'll quickly figure out a way to get along. But they're all of European stock. They're all white. Okay? And things will work out and they can get along. In fact, they'll have a good time together and pretty soon you'll have a whole lot more whites. If it's very, very racially homogenous, it'll work out just fine because it works. That's what works. They would quickly rebuild their population. They get very busy, both busy in the bedroom, as well as busy raising those kids, as well as busy teaching those families how to conduct the family business, how to become active, productive adults, how to build a society, how to maintain a society, how to have clean streets, how to have all of the wonderful things that white people enjoy. We would quickly be able to rebuild. I don't want to get teary-eyed here, but we would be able to do all of these things because it works. It works. All of the one true faiths have shown me is that they don't really work that good at solving all the world's problems. They're really good at, how should I say? They're all very good at their own survival. They're membership organizations, ultimately. What works? Well, a society based on the one principle that truly binds them all, that most organic substance of them all, blood. Genetic relatedness. They get along and they can build the kind of societies that their people are designed to build. White people make a certain type of a civilization, black people make a certain type of civilization, and so do Asians. Now, they might not all be comfortable for each other to live in, but I know that all of those societal problems that neocons talk about, they sort of, as they, not sort of, they completely, as they succumb to wordism and the religion of political correctness, they have sort of a mindset. I keep using sort of, they completely have a mindset that whatever it comes down to, whatever these problems have to deal with, whatever it is, it can't be because of race. It cannot be due to racity, race, race, race. It has to be something else. These wild youths running around are because of our culture. And if we all just believe better in angry guy in the sky, it's all going to get better. Just like all the other times the great belief in angry guy in the sky made everything better. No, believing in angry guy in the sky is great if it makes you feel more comfortable, and if you just really do, that's fantastic. But repeating a set of words to angry guy in the sky isn't going to make things better. But I can tell you a set of words to repeat, and I have many, many times. And right now, we're facing white genocide, so the words we repeat are the mantra. We point out that everybody says that there's this race problem that only exists in white countries and in all white countries. And the solution to this race problem is to flood all white countries with the third world. And then we all, quote-unquote, assimilate with all these non-whites. We intermarry and interbreed with them and create a new mocha-colored humanity. And so we all get along, since we're all the same race again. But what if I were to say that there's a race problem that only exists in black countries and all black countries, and that the way to solve this was to flood all black countries with non-blacks and force them to assimilate until they all interbreed into a new mocha-colored humanity, and then all the race problems would be over in black countries? Now, how long would it take any black man to realize that I'm not talking about a solution to any race problem, but I would be talking about the final solution to the black problem? And what kind of psycho black man would be okay with this? But if I talk about the obvious ongoing program of genocide against my race, both liberals and respectable conservatives alike will agree that I'm an evil racist Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They claim they're anti-racist. What they are is anti-white. They promote diversity. What they're really promoting is white genocide. Diversity is a code word for white genocide. Those are some words to repeat. Absolutely. Repeat those words. They're going to work out much better for you than repeating the white words to, great angry guy in the sky. So this has been a lovely little conversation here. You probably heard a lot more ums and uhs and Beefcake trailing off a little bit as I'm trying to search for the right words, but I want to look for words that work to give you. And so those ones at the end, those are a set of words that I know happen to work. And Swarm, you all have a good night and keep up the good work. I'll see you on Twitter. I am on Twitter. I put up a little piece of artwork recently. I haven't checked if it got retweeted or not. I should get my butt down there and see if it has been or not yet. But anyway, that's all I have to say for now, and you all have a good night.